Amen. Let me ask you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, as we look at this Gospel account this morning. Mark chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse number 13. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. May God bless the reading of his word. I think it's interesting that I'm at this particular passage of scripture. Last year when I began here, I did not sit down and plot and plan the way that the sermons would lay themselves out and to arrive at this day just before really an important time in the life of our church, Vacation Bible School. So I think it's interesting that this particular sermon, this particular passage is what we're dealing with today. That's not the entirety of the passage, as you'll discover. But let me just say something about this week and just the importance of it. And we may not have said enough about it. We may not have emphasized it enough. But this is an opportunity for us as a church to impact the kingdom for all eternity as we minister to children and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we give them the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. And if they already belong to him, it gives us an opportunity as a congregation to come alongside and disciple some children. But having said that, I want you to know there's much more to this text of Scripture than what we see on the surface. A lot of people deal with this text in this way, and as it is rightfully so, for the children. And it is important that we understand the importance of Jesus calling these children, Jesus bringing these children and putting his arms around them. And the importance here of us making sure that we understand the emphasis on bringing children to Jesus. But what we look at today is this tender call that Jesus issues to all people, not just the children, but to all people. He calls all people to respond to him, and the invitation for salvation is apparent. Verse number 15, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Pretty well a declared statement about what's required to go to heaven. So what does it mean when he tells us we have to have childlike faith? How can you and I be more childlike? Not childish, but childlike. And why is it so important to become like a little child that Jesus would make this emphatic statement about going to heaven? This story appears in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all tell this story. So it obviously penetrated their hearts and touched their thinking. And under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, there was something significant in this story. But why did the disciples rebuke those who wanted to bring the children? Maybe they thought they were helping Jesus out with his busy schedule. Maybe they were afraid that Jesus didn't want to be bothered by such insignificant people. Maybe they just thought they were doing him a favor. We don't really know. But we know that Jesus was pretty incensed by them, as we see in our passage of Scripture. Because what they had not realized is that Jesus came for insignificant people. And these men in this group that were trying to prevent others from coming to Jesus at this moment, they were pretty insignificant people. And yet, Jesus chose them. Jesus pulled them alongside him to minister, become a part of his ministry. These were the very people that Jesus wanted to minister to. Mark describes Jesus' attitude in this way. Jesus was so angry with them, he was indignant. Sometimes we translate this phrase much displeased or incensed or even angry. And this particular word only appears 7 times in the New Testament. So it's significant that the description is laid here as Jesus was incensed by what was going on. This word has often been used, or the 7 times it was used to describe the disciples when they heard that James and John were trying to get the best seats in the new kingdom. They were angry and indignant at James and John. The Pharisees were used to describe the Pharisees when Jesus kept on healing the Sabbath. They were incensed and angry that Jesus did something that they didn't necessarily like. It was the term used when Jesus cleansed the temple. He was angry. And so this idea here is that there's something that was deep within Jesus that caused him to get indignant and for him to be angry and rebuke the disciples here in this passage of Scripture. Here it is important for you and I to understand what Jesus has done. Jesus tells us it's essential to have childlike faith. So how do we exhibit childlike faith? How do we exhibit faith that is similar to a child? He gives us 3 essential practices for childlike faith. The first one we note is practice childlike self-evaluation. Evaluation. We need to look at ourselves and who we are in light of who Jesus Christ is and in light of what he's done for us. In verse number 13, the disciples rebuked and, as the text tells us, obstructed people from bringing these children to Jesus. So they weren't just telling them not to go take the children to Jesus. They were actually being a barricade and preventing people from taking their children to Jesus. And so when Jesus saw it, he was incensed. And he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And so his reference in this passage of Scripture isn't just limited to children, but he says little children. And he will use this term on occasions to describe those who he wants to have near him. And so these are individuals who were in need. And so Jesus, he employs this term "such as these" in this passage of Scripture to convey a degree. So on the one hand, he's talking specifically about children. But on the other hand, he's talking about such as these. And we'll discover those attributes and traits in just a moment. So you don't have to be a little child to enter the kingdom of God. You merely have to have childlike faith. And in our world today, as things in the world change around us, there's so many things that prevent individuals from coming to Jesus, and we'll discover a few of those as well. But Jesus' statement here is about those who may enter the kingdom of God. Jesus approached the leper. He approached the blind. He approached the crippled. He approached the deaf. He approached the needy. And he ministered to each of them. And in the context of what we see here in this passage of Scripture, that world discarded those individuals. He cast them aside. They treated them as though they were nothing. Treated them as though they were less than worthy of even any attention. So Jesus' rebuke of his disciples here in this passage of Scripture, it was more than just a rebuke for failure to allow children to come to him, but it was a rebuke to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to come to him. All we see in this passage of Scripture is we see his invitation to those who we see in the world around us. There are people who are insignificant. There are people in the world around us who are overlooked. There are people who are forgotten. There are people who just think life has passed them by. There have been people who have been abandoned. And these are the people that Jesus is referring to here in this passage of Scripture. He says, "Let the little children, those who need me, come to me." And so there's this invitation that is extended to all people. These people all have value in God's eyes, and we see it as this metaphor. This Jesus uses these children once again as a parable of the people that he wants to reach. Jesus said, "Such as these." Let's think for just a minute. What are some of the characteristics that little children may have? Some people will assume that children are innocent and sincere. They're eager to learn, or they're teachable. Humble, trusting, open, simple, and spontaneous, or they're unpretentious. But not all children have those traits. Not all children are like that. In fact, there are some who are quite the opposite. And so Jesus, when he refers to children here, there's something else that he's talking about in this passage of Scripture. We need to look at who he's talking to, who Jesus is speaking to in the congregation that's around him. Of course, it's the disciples, it's the parents of these children, and it's all those who are going to share this message from this point forward. So how did the listeners of this society understand what Jesus was saying? To understand this, we really need to apply some hermeneutics. We need to understand the context of what is going on and who Jesus is talking to and why he said it in this manner. So how did the listener of that society view children? They're not like children today. Today they valued children too, but our idea today is much different. We want to, rightfully so, I guess sometimes, and wrongfully so sometimes, spoil children. But in their society, children were treated as nothing more than just a problem in the pathway. They didn't like children. They loved them, but they were bothersome, yet they loved them at the same time. So there was this idea here in this passage of Scripture that they didn't value. They didn't view children the same way we do. So how did the listener of the society view children? See, the main point in this passage of Scripture is the dependency shared by children in ancient society and those who enter the kingdom at any time. So the ultimate focus of this passage is not only on the attitude that it requires coming to Jesus, but it's also the object of one's faith. We have to have a faith that is somehow just like what a child would have, such as these. See, children are just wonderful in our eyes. And there's some distinctions that we need to understand. So the ultimate focus here is children and their faith. What it is that's underlying their external attitudes that makes them ripe for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So the ultimate focus is on how we come to Jesus. So how much are you like a child? How much are you like a child in your faith? Sometimes we approach faith as grown up. And we'll discover this and look at this in a moment. If somehow we have to earn the favor or earn the merit of God, children don't view this or view their faith in this way. They just accept it. Sometimes we make our faith too difficult or too complex or even too adult. We need to make sure that we have a very clear picture of what this idea here that Jesus is talking about. We need to make sure we have childlike faith. We come to Christ like a child who needs his loving Heavenly Father and can do absolutely nothing for him. Sometimes we just need to keep it simple. And sometimes we try to make it so profound and so difficult, but it's simple enough for a child to respond to the invitation. So sometimes we just need to keep it simple. We need to have faith just like our Father. So the first idea is practice childlike faith. We need to have a good self-evaluation. Secondly, the second practice is we practice dependence upon Him. We must be dependent upon Him for salvation. There's nothing meritorious about faith. We can't earn it in any way, shape, or form. It's something that is just bestowed upon us by the goodness of God, His grace, His mercy, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. Mark, in this passage of Scripture, in the culture of the day, he was writing to a culture that was heavily influenced by Roman society. The Roman society, they had idols everywhere. And so to appease God, you had to give him a sacrifice. You had to do something meritorious. But faith in the biblical sense is in total contradiction to what the world around us sees or teaches or encourages. We can't earn salvation in any way. In verse number 15, that particular verse begins with the word truly. Now, this is important in this passage of Scripture. The word is actually amen. Literally, it means assuredly, or truly, or certainly. We conclude our prayers with it. When we say it at the end of our prayers, we're saying, so be it, Lord. Let this be. And so Jesus, he's emphasizing in this passage of Scripture just the importance of what he's getting ready to say about salvation, about children, about faith. Jesus makes a very negative statement here in verse number 15. Let's read it again. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So we have to receive it like a child to enter in to the kingdom. The emphasis being upon his work and what he's done for us. But there are two ideas that stand there in this particular passage of Scripture. And they stand side by side throughout the Bible. The blessings of the kingdom are both received and given. And so when we talk about salvation, there is an element in which we respond to what God has given to us or is offering to us. Think back to that child for just a moment. How does a child receive a blessing? How does a child receive a gift? When you offer something to a child, let's put you in the position here for just a moment of an individual who is respected and honored by, say, a 3-year-old, and you have something great and you hand it to that 3-year-old, what do? Wham! They grab it and they're giddy and they're having a good old time. That is the idea. There's not any thinking about it. We just respond and we receive what he is offering to us. We trust the person on the other side of this invitation to have our best interest at heart, and that gift is truly something that we want to receive. And the idea here, this is how we must receive faith. This is how we must receive Christ. It's like this child that the moment that it's offered, we just snatch it. We take it because we know it's the best thing in town. We trust the person who is giving it to us, so we honor them. And although we receive it, there's really very little response on our part. We just take it. That's the idea of childlike faith. We receive what he has given to us. So the blessings of the kingdom are received as a gift, yet we enter through responsive faith. We respond. And so this expression, like a child, could refer to the way in which one receives a child, but that's really not the case. The idea here is it's the idea in which this child receives something that is offered to him or her. They just take it. They unwrap it, and they enjoy it, and they take the gift and they run with it. So we see this idea here. Little children, though, who Jesus uses this phrase, little children, they don't really have much to offer. They have almost absolutely nothing to offer, but we do have something to offer back to Jesus. Dirty diapers, runny noses, skint knees, dirty rooms, wounds, headaches, battles, fights, griefs, and gripes. That's what we have to offer. That's all we have as little children. And we need to understand our position, that here's the Almighty who loves us so much. He recognizes our inability and the fact that we cannot respond and the fact that we have absolutely nothing to give to him. He understands fully who we are because we're little children. Little children, they can't earn a paycheck. They can't serve on a church committee. They really can't do much of anything, can they? And Jesus says we need to come to him as little children. Little children are pretty useless. Pretty useless when it comes to doing virtually anything at all, except for producing all the bad things, all the rotten things. And so we need to understand that when we come to Jesus, he knows we're bringing baggage. He knows we're bringing the dirty diapers. He knows we're bringing the broken hearts and the woundedness. He knows we're bringing all these things to Him, yet He wants us anyway. He still willingly, He offers that gift to all of us. Anyone who may respond. Little children are dependent upon others for their very survival. They have no autonomy. They have no self-security. They have no self-sufficiency. They really can't make it on their own. So this is the idea of biblical faith. This is this idea that comes across when Jesus says we respond to Him like a child, such as these. My question is this: why does anyone ever think that they could earn salvation? How can anyone ever think they can do enough good things to earn God's favor? We just can't, because all we bring to Him are brokenness, our emptiness, our stresses and de-stresses, and all the things that amount to absolutely nothing but pain and anguish. We must come before God recognizing and acknowledging our insignificance, because that's who we are. We come and we present ourselves to Him with our lack of security. So we approach Him with our total dependence upon Him, and we throw ourselves on His mercy because He's the God of mercy. The pulpit commentary describes this passage of Scripture in this way: "And if you, full-grown men, would become fit for My kingdom, you must give up your ambitious aims and earthly contests and imitate the simple, unworldly ways of little children. The simplicity of the little child as the model and the rule for everyone who desires, by the grace of Christ, to obtain the kingdom of heaven. He is the perfect one, and we are the sinful ones. He is the forgiver, and we are the ones in great need of forgiveness." So it's all about Him and what He's done for us. It's all about Him giving to us, and it's all about us responding and receiving from Him, just like this little child. Right after this story in the Gospel of Mark, the next story we see is the story of the rich young man who had so much, and he wanted to enter heaven. But Jesus said to him, he asked him, he said, "What have you done? Have you obeyed the law?" And the guy kind of said, "Yes, Lord, I've obeyed all the laws." And so Jesus knew that was not true, and he said, "Well, then this is what I want you to do. Sell everything you have, give it all away." The man had many possessions, and he went away brokenhearted because he could not buy his way to heaven. He couldn't buy his way into the glorious gates of the kingdom of God. All Jesus is telling us here in this passage of Scripture is the importance of approaching Him as a child with a childlike faith in which we respond and we receive the glorious blessing that He gives and offers to each of us. The third and final thing we need to do is we need to practice gratitude for this gift. In verse number 15, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." So how does a child receive it? We've already said it. With nothing to give in return. Think for a moment at that. Put yourself back as a parent, and maybe that first or second Christmas after having children. You've got all these presents laid out for these children. All the gifts under the tree are for the children and hopefully your spouse as well. But what do the children give? Nothing. And this is salvation. We give absolutely nothing and we receive absolutely everything. Children have nothing to give except for possibly love and devotion, maybe. But we don't even really give those. But children, they receive, and they virtually give nothing in return. And that's the way we receive the kingdom of God. We have absolutely nothing to give in return for what Christ has done for us. When we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers all of our sins. It's the payment for the sins of our life. God's gift is mercy. And biblical mercy means that I deserve punishment for my sin. But instead, Christ took my punishment on the cross. His gift is grace. Grace means I deserve hell, but instead I receive the forgiveness of God and I get heaven. We can't earn God's love, but it's given to us freely. and it's given regularly and offered to you today. We can't earn God's forgiveness, but it can be granted to us anyway. We can receive it, but there's nothing we can do for it. Absolutely nothing we can do for it. Now, the only way to get to heaven, the only way to enter the kingdom of God, is to admit what God has done for you. Admit that you can't earn it. Admit that you don't deserve it, but you get it anyway. In conclusion, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So here is the gift. The gift is eternal life. And it's in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's as a result of the wages of the sin in our life. We think about what sin is, and sin is anything that reproaches God's commandments, God's law. Each of us are sinners. And each of us need a Savior. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And so the only way that we can ever truly have salvation, the only way that we can ever enter the kingdom of God, is not by our works, not by our deeds, but it's by receiving the gift that Jesus freely offers to everyone. So the question for you today is this: have you received that free gift of salvation? Have you really responded? Some people don't even really know that they're lost. Maybe you're that person. You look at your life and you're thinking, "I'm a pretty decent person. I've not killed anybody. I've never stolen anything more that was worth more than $2. But Jesus said this, that if you think in your mind that you're going to murder somebody, and the Sermon on the Mount is the same thing as murder. Stealing something that's worth less than $2 is still stealing. You say, "But I always do everything I'm supposed to do, and I'm a good, decent person." Well, not by the heavenly register. None of us are good. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all lost, and we all need a Savior. And so this is your invitation today. Will you receive the free gift that is offered to you by Jesus Christ? In just a moment, as we close during our time, as we sing a hymn of invitation, the invitation is for you to respond. And this morning, if you want to receive that free gift, come and take my hand and let me introduce you to Jesus. You say, "I don't want to walk up in front of everybody and tell everybody what's going on." Maybe after the service, if you need to make this response, then come and take my hand and say, "Kevin, can I talk to you for a couple minutes after church? Because I need to receive that gift." See, the gift is for you. How will you respond? Will you receive it? If you would please stand as I close this in prayer, and we'll have our song of decision. Let me pray. Father, we just pray that as we close out this time of our service, that you would just minister to each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to recognize whether we've received that gift or not. And Lord, that we would freely receive whatever gift you're offering to us today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.